The Womanity Project. Let's talk about gender. Genders. Gender? Gender equality.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Womanity Project Live. I'm Aurélie Harp, and you're listening to the Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn. Céline is now in Miami, but I am not alone. This week, I am joined by Geraldine Pearson. Hi, Geraldine.
Hello. And today, our guest is Amelia Kane, but today we'll call you Mia, a young and beautiful actress from Boston and now living in Bed-Stuy.
Hi, Mia.
Hi, thank you.
Welcome to the Womanity Project.
I'm so glad to be here.
All right, so let's start the Womanity questionnaire with you. Okay. Mia, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I grew up in Massachusetts, and I lived in Western Massachusetts for all of my growing up, and I went to school in Boston. I'm a graduate of Boston University. I went through their Bachelor's of Fine Arts Theater program, and after school, I had to figure out where I was going to live next in this great wide world, and I picked Brooklyn, and just recently have made my year here. I am I'm officially a year in Brooklyn. It's beautiful, yeah. I'm an actress and a nanny in the area, and I work a lot with kids. It's pretty fantastic. I'm living the dream.
So how did you end up in acting?
I have been through a number of arts programs my entire life. My mother was a fine craftsman and my father was an actor for a while in college, and there just seemed to be no better fit for me. I went to performing arts high school, and a lot of my friends who then moved on to do conservatory training in college I had a lot of struggle about making peace with the fact that they had chosen to go into professional art. And there just was no other answer for me. There was no other option. It was just obvious. I was always very creative. I was always very playful. I always wanted to be performing. So it just made more sense than anything else, really.
So now, to go more deeper on the Womanity questionnaire, can you tell me, what is the gender you identify with?
I identify as a cisgendered woman, and I'm actually really excited about that. One of my friends and I have been talking very deeply about what it means to be a woman, especially in this moment, when our country has so articulately said that women just plainly don't matter or we are unimportant. And I think there's a very articulate and important thing to be proud of being a woman in this particular moment, especially when the masses would have us say that is a disservice or not something that is particularly preferable. I'm very proud.
And can I just ask you, because you said a cisgender woman, if you can just precise.
That I was born a woman and that I continue to identify with that gender. It's never been something that I have questioned or felt that it didn't articulately identify who I was. And I'm really lucky in that vein to be so proud and to feel like it's such a right fit for me. There are people who don't get that and have to find a lot of bravery to combat that.
So, Mia, was there a day you particularly felt grateful to be a woman? And how did that make you feel?
One of the things that I think about when you ask me that question, Geraldine, is that because I feel so proud to be a woman all the time, because it is so inherent to who I am, I feel proud every day. because I feel proud of who I am every day, I'm allowed to be who I am every day. And I think that a lot of that comes from being an out queer woman. I think a lot of that comes from having an incredibly strong sense of community and a tribe behind me who are also excited about that. And so I'm very, very grateful, religiously almost, to be female. I cannot fathom what it would be like to be anything but. So
let's try to say the question on the other side. Were there a day when you felt not really grateful of being a woman, or you felt challenged to be a woman?
There are moments, because I'm a nanny full-time for the most part when I'm not acting, or directing, and there are moments where I feel small because I have chosen a path very religious, like very habitually, that puts me in a very stereotypical female role. And there are moments where I question whether or not I am the person or the force in my life that keeps me small, that perhaps I cut myself off at the knees because I don't have anything else to offer, or I don't want to stretch myself in another way, or maybe it's easy to just fall into nannying or to a very stereotypical female role. And those are moments where I have to remind myself that it is hard to do things well, and to be able to do things well is enough sometimes. So that doesn't always make me feel particularly proud. But
I hear you when you say sometimes when you feel little. On my own experience, one day I remember I was Airbnb-ing for a friend and cleaning her mm-hmm. apartment to help. And the people entered, and just when they saw me like cleaning, they of course assumed I was the cleaning lady. And the way they treated me was completely like, you know, all of a sudden I was a small person, like, mm-hmm. you know. And I first it made me enraged because I felt bad for everybody who has to do that every day. And then I was like, what is it at one point like to have this function? And as you said, maybe like when you're babysitting or whatever, like that is very gendered. And how can we change that?
Yeah, I think it's a matter of perspective, honestly, that like the things that I'm good at, like I'm a very good cook, and sometimes that sucks.
That's true.
Sometimes that sucks because of course I'm female and I'm a good cook and I like to do laundry, and like that is so gendered and it's so weighted. But I have to remember that, like, I find incredible creativity in cooking. I love being able to go into the fridge and being like, okay, so I have these weird four things, and I'm going to make something delicious, and that is an act of creativity, and that it is something to be proud of, whether or not it feels very basic or very small. Like, I fed myself, and I fed myself well, and that's enough. A lot of my mantra lately has been about surrounding self-care and how to do that well, and so like that's enough for me.
Well, as a mom, I will say you should be proud of yourself, because we appreciate everything you do as a nanny.
Thank you so much.
To help raise our kids, and not that you're raising my kid, but help raising all these kids around us, making them better people. So you should be proud of it, whether you're a man, a woman, whatever little you
Thank
do
you.
Is a big quick step in making them become better people, hopefully. All right. We're now going to take a break, and we're going to listen to the interview from actress and LGBT activist Rose McGowan reacting to the elections.
I feel like we're on a rocket ship strapped to the front of it, hurtling towards an asteroid, and this country set the fucking match. My initial reactions and feelings to the news of the election were, as so many of us have had, heartbreak, anger, rage, shock. I'm not shocked that it happened. I'm shocked that they pulled off a coup of this magnitude, that the alt-right movement, they've been waiting for this moment, and they got it. I traveled on November 9th to Europe. The most difficult thing to explain is why America is so stupid, why they vote against their best interests, why they're so willing to hate a woman that they can't see the bigger picture. The thing with Hillary, I don't know who could have survived 30 years of gnarly negative press. Simultaneously, they're building up Donald Trump for the last 30 years. You know, lifestyles of the rich and famous, all that kind of America stupid people worship that they do for, you know, the nouveau riche and the glitz and the glamour. They fall for it. My number one priority is safety for women. That is what I care about most. And we're going to need allies. We are going to need all good men to protect us. We are going to need our good women to protect us. This is a war on inequality. This is a war on intelligentsia. This is a war on women. This is a war on LGBTQ and anybody who goes under the definition of other. This is a war. What we do now, what we do going forward, we're going to have to I don't know. Nobody knows. That's the fuck of it all. But I do know something's gonna happen, and I do know it's gonna be big. And I do know I want to be a part of it, that I want to stand for women, that I want to stand and speak for those who can't, because they don't have a voice, because they've been marginalized now more than ever. I've been trying to sound the drum for this last year, but I'm just one person, and apparently I didn't sound it loudly enough.
Wow. Getting the chill. I would be curious to hear your reaction to this.
Oh, I mean, it is tragic. It is tragic to be in this moment. It is terrifying to be in this moment. But everyone I talk to, I ask for any sort of silver lining. And I have yet to find someone who has one.
You really feel this way, like when you talk to your friend and your community, like this
to everyone. The thing that frightens me the most is that people will look at me and say things along the lines of like, it's just not going to change anything that much, or what are you afraid of, or why are you crying about this? And my frustration and my fear is that there is already a mass normalization of violence and prejudicial behavior, of hate. And one of the things that like I have been trying to wrap my mind around is how it could be that there are so many people who are willing to give up on basic human rights in the face of what seem to be small policy decisions. People who would prefer discussion about their money instead of conversations about who deserves basic human rights. And that is a priority to me and not a priority to others. That someone else's freedoms or someone else's ability to walk safely in their community is absolutely jeopardized for what doesn't really seem to be that big a deal to me in other veins.
And when you say, this rise of violence or misogyny, is it what you read or is it something you experience yourself? How?
It's a little bit of both. It's the agency that the news has to write about young white supremacists. It's people who feel the ability in our community to identify with that, which is face-meltingly shocking to me, that is okay, and that there are things that like are now more novel than ever before. I identify as bisexual and queer, and that all of a sudden there's space for people to start to ask me about why that is the case, or to look at me like an object and say, well, like, I don't understand what you're doing, or like, what is it that makes this about you okay? It's not yet waves of attack on me, but it is general discomfort and normalization that are very scary.
So and you felt that happened more recently than before, or?
Oh definitely. Like a fly or a bug under a microscope in just like a heated way. I've gotten more questions lately. I've gotten people who've asked me in safe spaces to identify to them about who I am or why I'm in a place that usually is safe for me. I've been out a few times with other queers at queer places, predominantly out dancing, and gotten very odd attention from men in places that are supposed to be queer, from men who I identify as cis and heterosexual, and perhaps I should double check with them about that, but it's just been very, very odd and eerie even. I notice violence towards people who look particularly queer when I present more femme. I'm worried for my friends who don't look by the book. It's very sad.
So, is there anything you think that should change regarding how gender is treated in our society?
No, definitely. there's a list miles long. I think that if we were able to think about people that we identify as other and identify them as humans in the same way that we identify, if you could look at people who don't identify in the same way as you and say, oh, yes, you are a human being too. Oh, yes, you deserve the same basic rights as I do. You deserve the same pay. You deserve the same way to be treated. Like, everyone deserves their feelings. I think these are pretty basic. And the fact that we have to go over them again is terribly frustrating and disheartening to me.
When I say feminism, what comes to your mind?
That's Geraldine's favorite question.
Feminism to me is the radical notion that we are all human beings and should be treated with the same articulate care, that we all showed up on the planet and that we all deserve the same basic treatment in symbiotic relationships, that is absolutely, without question, what should be done.
Would you identify yourself as a feminist in terms of being part of a movement, or just as a feminist as believing in gender equality?
I would like to be part of a movement. I think if we could all have jackets, that would be lovely. I think that at any point that you can identify a community around you, you are stronger. And so I would definitely identify with if nothing more than a unanimous theory that I am definitely a part of a movement.
How old are you, Mia? Sorry to ask.
I'm 24.
Yay!
No worries. I think age is numbers. That's
no,
okay.
For sure. No, you're an old soul.
You say that because you're 24.
Probably.
Exactly. But you call part of the millennial generation, I guess.
Which I am. One of the dreaded millennials.
Well, you know, you voted. Whatever. I'm not going to go even in this thing. Do you feel as well, like, around you, and again, I'm not saying, like, you speak for every millennial, but would you say, how is the reaction or understanding of gender equality and or feminism in your group of friends?
I'm lucky enough to have what I believe to be a very level-headed group of friends, or else I wouldn't keep them. But I find that the people who I've chosen to surround myself with are very understanding of the fact that we all deserve basic human rights. The people who I have a little bit more struggle with, I wonder often if their privilege allows them to not have to identify with any of it. And those are conversations where I have to say, are you really not paying attention? Do you really not see that this is unfair? Or why do you feel like I'm not allowed to do that? Or come up against them in my ability to show my intelligence, to show my strength, to show my agency in a way that I don't have to feel the need to prove with my community in a separate way. So,
great. Well, thank you. And we are going to take a little break. We, in this break, we're going to leave you people with one of Mia's power songs, Pretty Little Foot by Rising Appalachia and the Human Experience.
Mm-hmm. They're excellent. If you don't know them, you should now.
Kiss your every day, so
You're listening to The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn. So, this is the last sequence of our questionnaire, Mia.
Mm-hmm.
So, if there is a woman you'd like to say thank you to.
I was thinking about this. I had a professor in college whose name is Alana Brownstein, and she was an incredible intelligentsia. And I would like to generally thank her for pushing me as hard as she could. She had us read something like 50 plays a semester, and she every day walked into a patriarchal setup and just kicked ass all the time. And it didn't matter what she was teaching, or that she was the hardest teacher I've ever had. But she was just so phenomenal in the way that she did it. I would like to just thank the heaven that she exists.
What is the one positive change to help yourself or another woman?
I think that we have to be patient and flexible, that especially now. When it is easy to let tiny fights get in the way of the massive reality shift that is happening, that we have to find a place in ourselves to take a deep breath and actually be present with the people that matter to us, whether it's because of conflict or not. It's so easy to smooth over things that really shouldn't be. Issues of opinion or issues of conflict, and being able to say, I hear you. I don't know if I understand or if I feel the same way, but I can be present and I can hear you, and we will find a way through it is really important, I think, right now.
Wow. And who is the next person you'd like to nominate for the Womanity Project?
I have a very close friend who's also an actor-director in the area, and she has kind of blazed my path. We went to high school together, we went to college together, and then we moved to Brooklyn. I followed in every one of her footsteps, and her name is Callie Farnsworth, and I would like to nominate her because I think she might have some very interesting things to say to you as well. She's right. Pretty badass.
Well, thank you so much, Mia, for being with us today, for being so open and honest and everything. I really appreciate.
No, thank you for having me.
No, it's You have been listening to The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn. You can like us and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Womanity Project. You can support us and sponsor us on our page, radiofreebrooklyn.com/show/the-womanity-project. Tune in next week, The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And dear listeners, we are airing one of your requested power songs to close out our show. And this song was submitted by Jessica Boyd from the UK, by the way. The song is "Your Love Keeps Lighting Me Higher" by Jackie Wilson. Au revoir tout le monde.
Au revoir tout le monde, à la semaine prochaine.
Bye.